This episode of the comment section is brought to you by Captain Morgan Sliced. Since the dawn of bread, we've known the truth. Sliced is better. That's why new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail style flavors: pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus only. This episode is brought to you by Accounting Plus. Ignore the unschooled skeptics. In terms of career, accounting is the way to go. We're talking flexibility, great pay, and the kind of lifestyle you've always dreamed of. It's a lifestyle that's less math and spreadsheets and more traveling, personal and professional growth, and making a positive impact on your family and community. If this sounds like what you're into, Accounting Plus provides free resources that will help guide you to a successful career in accounting and personal freedom. Do more, live more. Visit joinaccountingplus.com.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Your faves,
yep,
they want to lay down with us. And so you look stupid and goofy when you call us men and shit.
Yeah. And welcome back to another episode of the Comment Section Show starring me, Drew. Everybody knows me. Nobody cares about me. Anyways, on to the amazing guests. Today we have the incredible, the talented, the amazing Trace Lissette. Woo! Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, queen.
Oh, girl, you know, I'm so excited to have you.
I adore you.
Same. How you feeling? How you been? How's life?
Oh, my God. Life has been a roller coaster this past year. For the better, mostly.
Yeah.
But, I'm looking forward to some abundance rolling in 2024.
Period. Abundance mindset. Yes. Have to keep it.
Yes.
Trace, for everyone that doesn't know, and why don't you know if you don't know, Trace is an incredibly talented actress and has been in the game for a minute. And you were in amazing movies like Hustlers, right? You're in Monica. Transparent.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Yes.
How was it? I know Monica's your most recent film.
Yes, that was my first lead in a feature film.
Period.
Took a long time. 42, so it took a while to get here, but you know.
You're 42?
I'm 42, girl.
Girl, you look good.
Yeah, thank you.
You look good as fuck.
It's the estradiol pill.
Period. You look good,
it's
bitch.
It's the moans.
You look my age. I literally thought you were like 30.
Oh, I'll take it. I still play 30, so.
Yeah, I mean, duh. Yeah. You could play like mid-20s.
I appreciate that. Look, you know, I tell my agents that all the time. So if you're watching, hello.
Well, if they ever make a movie about me, I'll just cast you.
Oh, okay.
As me.
Okay.
There you go. In my 20s. That's honestly, that threw me for a loop. That's crazy.
We should do a buddy comedy.
We should. We should be like twins. So fun. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
Oh, that's a throwback.
We could be like twins.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, that would be so funny. Because we look nothing alike.
No, I need to go watch that.
I've never even seen it either. I just know they're like, haha, one's tall, one's short.
I think I saw it when I was a kid.
Period.
Yeah.
Look at you. Is that what got you? Actually, I'll back up. What got you into acting? Like, what made you want to venture into the craft?
Oh, okay. So, how do I make this light and funny? No, it's, you know, I had a rock bottom moment in my mid-20s.
Okay.
I was hustling. You know, I was in New York and, you know, tried to take my life. And,
oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
It's, girl, it was over a decade ago. Mm-hmm. I was just, you know, a lot of things going on, and I had a guy friend of mine who was a working actor.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Caribbee Fubara. He's in heaven now. Mm-hmm. But he was like, you're so talented and you can't swing around a pole forever and do whatever you're doing to survive. Yeah. You know, I was doing what I could with what I had.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
And there was a time when I realized I had to invest in myself again beyond the transition, the physical transition. I'm trans, guys, in case you didn't know. so I had to go in and like, you know, take the money from swinging around a pole and invest into an acting school.
Yeah.
And I bounced around at different acting studios and just realized that, oh, acting is picking me back. Like it was evident in a short amount of time that the teachers were giving me the feedback that I needed to understand that I could do something else with my life that I had never dreamed that I could do.
Yeah.
And so Caribbee is like an angel, you know, he
put you on your path that you were supposed to be on.
We dated briefly and then became friends, but he changed my life forever with that vote of confidence, just saying like, you know, you're so animated and you're so earnest and there's something about you that could really do well on camera.
Yeah.
And it's worth it to explore. And so I went to his acting teacher, and that was the start of my journey back in, oh God, must have been 07, I think. Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool though. Like what a story of triumph, right? Like getting on your path and like a way that maybe you didn't expect to, but now you know like this is what you're meant to do.
Yeah.
Which I think is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What was your first like big like role like for you where you're like, man, like this is like a thing. Like, oh my gosh.
Well, I got cast in this like, I don't know if it would be considered a feature. It was like a 45-minute low-budget action film.
Okay,
it did premiere in Times Square at a at a indie thing.
Yeah.
So it played at AMC, and it was at this little festival. But and I was the lead.
Period.
I booked Transparent like a year or two after that.
Mm-hmm.
And the producer then found out that I was trans because I kind of came out when I got Transparent.
Yeah.
And he shelved the film and, you know, told me I was a fraud. And
that's crazy.
Yeah, he was deeply transphobic. I mean, this was a different time. This was like, I think I did that film in like 2011 or 2012.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's an insane thing to be like, liar.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, am I? You bought it, didn't you?
Right. Like, we shot it and people like it. Like,
yeah, that's I mean, like you hired me. So
yeah.
People are insane.
But that's okay. It was pretty low budget and I don't mind that it's not out there.
Mm-hmm.
But Transparent was a leap of faith. It was like, I was still working all over the clubs in New York City and the straight clubs. And, you know, that's not the safest place for a trans girl.
Yeah.
But, I was like, I'm going to do this because Laverne Cox was one of my good girlfriends and she had just done Orange.
Yeah.
And that was like blowing up. I mean, she thought it was a web series. Like when I ran into her on the street one day outside of, we had the same doctor and we got our hormones at the same place.
Yeah.
And I ran into her one day and I was like, what's going on, girl? Like, what's the latest? What's the tea? She was like, oh, I just did this little web series. And I was like, oh, what's it called? She's like, Orange is New Black. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I can't wait to see that. And then when it came out, it just like blew up.
Yeah.
And
it was huge for representation in a lot of ways.
Oh my God.
That nobody had ever seen before.
It was so huge.
Yeah.
And I had just done a Law and Order. It got in my union card. Ooh. And
wait, Law and Order SVU or just Law and Order?
It was SVU.
Oh my God, I love Law and Order SVU. I love that fucking show.
I think it was season 15.
Girls, the way I'm gonna go look for it.
I played a girl. I played this bitch named Lila. And
I'm literally gonna look it up because I've seen so many episodes of that show and I probably have seen it.
Yeah,
honestly. And I just didn't know you. At the time, I had
blonde hair, like Marilyn, very Marilyn.
Okay.
And it was not a trans role, and I still hadn't come out yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Laverne did that thing, I was like, maybe there's a space for us.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah. That was going to be my next question, actually. I was going to ask, like, since you've been in the film industry, TV and film, for a while now, like, have you seen a change or some sort of, in a more positive way than it has been? Obviously, there's still so much work to be done. But do you see any sort of shift at all? Do you think that it's changed in terms of representation?
Definitely. But it ebbs and flows. I mean,
I
think last year was pretty, well, there was a strike and it was It was pretty slow. But, yeah. You know, it does this. Mm-hmm. But it's steadily gotten better.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, definitely.
And so I'm hopeful. And I'm encouraged by people who have kind of hit the main, like trans girls who have hit the mainstream, like Hunter Schafer and yeah. Laverne. You yeah. know, it just, it's, it makes me think, okay, they see us for more. And,
yeah,
and
totally.
Like doing Monica was very affirming.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see. We'll
I think see. Too, like, there is something to be said about how when they do cast, and this is like for all marginalized identities.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't always have to be in a state of trauma or in something that's
right.
awful or like, you know what I mean? Like seeing trans girls be cast in roles that are like not centered around that, I think is
yes.
beautiful and amazing. I feel like that's a true step in the right direction. Like actually mm-hmm. is weighing them just as evenly as you weigh cis actresses. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would love to be just thought of as another leading lady.
Yeah,
now.
Totally.
And I'm trying to bring that energy in.
Yeah.
And to just push out the doubters and the,
totally.
You know, because the resume should speak for itself and the work should speak for itself and it
yeah.
shouldn't have to do with your identity. For but
real.
For some reason, when we get a big win, it's thought of as like a fluke.
Or yeah, or like a threat.
Or a threat.
Yeah. It's like.
Or a threat instead of a, wow, that's a really unique artist who's had a very unique life experience.
Yeah.
And you cannot go somewhere and pay to learn what that person has lived.
Totally.
That's that special sauce that we bring.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Mm. And I've talked about that a lot on this show, especially too, because obviously I have lots of trans friends. I have lots of friends in all different kinds of margins of society. But we talked about that a lot on the show in terms of like how whenever there is even like an inkling of representation for someone that lives in the margins all the time, it's always like, and what about us?
Yeah.
What about straight people? What about cis people? What about you, girl?
Right.
You have more than enough representation. Shit,
right.
pick something else. You could close your eyes and scroll and you could find someone that represents you.
Yeah.
But like there are so few, like so few, like it's even smaller than people realize, like representation for actresses like yourself who have been in the yeah. game for a long time.
A long fucking time.
Yeah, girl.
Like I want to do a movie with Meryl and like,
yeah.
you know. I don't know, Michelle Pfeiffer and, you mm-hmm. know, I mean, I would love to just fall in with the legends and
totally.
Play and like show,
and I see that for
show
you.
Them what I could do, you know, like,
absolutely.
You know, I would love that. I know, I hear a lot of actors talk about imposter syndrome and I'm like, I don't have that. I just have, I just have a lack of access. Like
yeah.
just put me in a game.
Yeah. Just give me one chance. This episode is brought to you by eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Whether it's a handbag, watch, sneakers, streetwear, or jewelry, eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit eBay.com for terms. This episode is brought to you by Captain Morgan Sliced. In fruit and life, there's no juice without the slice. It's what freed the pineapple from the rind and turned your old jeans into cute jorts. Introducing Captain Morgan Sliced, four cocktail-inspired, ready-to-drink flavors. Pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus only. I think too, like that's another reason why people like you are so important is because you still get in there. You know what I'm saying? Like you're still making sure, like if no one's going to open the door for me, I'll fucking make my own if that's the case.
Yeah. That's exhausting. No,
it is exhausting.
Yeah.
It is very exhausting. And
yeah.
and even like for me, cause I'm just a clown on the internet, but like even for me, in the beginning of my like journey and everything, there was a moment where I was like, I don't think anyone's ever going to work with me because I'm so controversial. Like the shit that I do. And more specifically, it's not like standing up to misogyny. Obviously it's like the way I choose to do it. There were a lot of brands that were afraid to work with me.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah, girl. And then for a while, like I thought I wouldn't even get representation because I, you know, I had the platform. I had more than enough followers to warrant at the time before I was signed to anybody. But no one really hit my line. And I think that's because they were afraid to represent someone like me. Cause like, what if I don't bring in any money? Then it's like pointless kind of thing. But the agent I have now is the agent that signed me like 2 years ago. Mm. And she was like one of the only people that was like, I see something. And she had to really convince them to sign me.
Okay.
And she told me that after we became friends and like got a lot closer. But she really had to sell me because they were like, I can't market her to anybody. Like, she's too much. She's too loud. She's too mean.
Because they get scared of the respectability politics and the language and the way you're delivering the call outs.
Exactly. Yeah.
And not knowing that that does appeal to the masses.
A lot of people, yeah, believe it or not, like a lot of people kind of vibe with it. And then I kind of joke about it sometimes when I talk about it in interviews and stuff, but I'll say like, I just got too big to ignore. Like at that point they had no choice but to reach out to me. Yeah. So I was like, I'm gonna keep going and then I'll keep growing. And if anything comes of it, great. If not, at least I'm fucking up men's
get
day.
On the bus or get left behind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so Monica, for those who don't know, can you explain the plot of Monica and like what it means to you to have like played that role, like in that movie?
Yeah. So the movie is about a trans woman who was kicked out when she was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And has lived on her own for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And her biological mother is now dying.
Mm-hmm.
And had a brain surgery and is suffering from memory loss. And in her last days, and she gets a call from her sister-in-law,
mm-hmm.
Kind of giving her the tea. And then she goes home. She decides to go home and see what's left of this situation, if anything at all.
Yeah.
And I think my favorite thing about Monica is that she's this woman who is, she knows who she is.
Yeah.
And she has had this like self-sufficient existence for such a long time.
Yeah.
This is not like another transition story you know, it's not even about that. I don't even think the word trans is in the film. And so that's what I love most about it, is that it's not about that.
Just about like family, like complicated,
it's about family,
like and complicated about, relationships with family.
What do you do with the time you have left? And maybe there's not gonna be this big resolution. Because sometimes life is gray. It's not always black and white.
Totally.
It's shades of gray. And I think that's one thing that the director, writer, Andrea, did so well was he didn't spoon feed anything for anybody. You know?
Totally.
Yeah.
And how was it working on that film while you were like, as far as like, as since obviously as a trans person and you're working in this role that's like so emotionally taxing too, like kind of going over a very complicated relationship with a parent. Like, how was that for you kind of living in that role for the duration of filming?
I enjoy being in that bubble, in that creative bubble. We shot it in Cincinnati in the dead of summer. It was really hot, and I love the heat, and I love the humidity, and I love artists, and I love acting. Even though it was heavy material, I was either naked or crying or both on any given day. I just enjoyed the purpose of having to go to set every day. Because, you know, when you're in between jobs, you're like, what am I doing? Like, where is the next gig?
Totally.
So I enjoyed it. It was taxing, of course, and cathartic too at times. But I have really fond memories of that summer.
Totally.
Yeah.
I've had a couple friends on here too that have like, they're actors first. Like, they don't want to be influencers at all. Like, they want to be actors. And so they've kind of expressed to me how hard it is like in between. And that's why they kind of started doing social media just for funsies. And even a few of my friends, like one of my girlfriends, Caitlin Riley, she was on the show too, and she's an actress. But she was telling me, like, I did this because there was no work at the time. And then this took off, and then now they're kind of sometimes they'll pitch me as like an influencer, and I'm like, no.
You're like,
I'm an actress.
I'm still an actress.
Yeah. She's like, I'm still an actress. Like, I did this shit for fun, and now it's like, it's taking me away from what it is I want to do.
Yes.
So I totally get, because she was telling me there was no work. So I was like, well, I got to do something.
Yeah.
So she started kind of chipping away at social media.
I think Johnny Sibley.
Yeah, Johnny Sibley, who's also been on the show. Love him.
Yeah.
My Virgo King.
Similar journey. He did all these characters like Julissa and Megan. And that was... It's not like he wasn't auditioning and looking for work. He was.
Yeah.
But you got to put that creative energy somewhere.
Yeah, totally. You know? Yeah, especially when it's, I feel like there's such long periods, I'm sure, of like waiting. Just kind of just waiting. That's why I told you, I had one audition and they hit me up 8 months later. Like, they initially reached out to me and never heard from them again.
Yeah, it's always 48 hours or less.
Yeah.
8 pages of dialogue and you're like, I have a life.
Yeah. This one, like, and that the one thing they sent me was literally like a paragraph and a couple sentences, and that's it. Like, it wasn't even anything long or hard. And I was like, okay.
Well, that's a little better.
Yeah, that's nice. I guess nicer, but I guess not, because they didn't pick me. So, and that's the shit I was auditioning for too was like so under wraps that I don't even know. What they sent me was just like a description of who I was reading for.
Okay.
And then the paragraph and then the two sentences and then that's it.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't give me a storyline or anything like that. And it was for something animated. So
well,
they were like,
that reminds me of the Meryl Streep quote where she says, you know, casting sees so little of what you're actually capable of.
Yeah.
Because the audition process is so far removed from how acting is, like, on set.
Yeah.
And some people are great auditioners.
Yeah.
And others, if they're extremely sensitive, might not be good at that.
Yeah.
I'm sensitive to the light and the, you know, the fluorescent rooms. And, or even, like, a self-tape sometimes. It's just, like, you know... You're having a friend do it, and they have to be somewhere, and you know, in an hour, and like you're just trying to get through it.
Yeah,
and
it's not really indicative of your potential.
It's not the full breadth of what you're capable of on set.
That's a really good point.
And that can be frustrating because then you know people get jobs based off of auditions, but
yeah, totally,
that might not even be how they bring it on set or vice versa. You know,
do they do auditions in person anymore, or is it more so just self-tapes and then they
I haven't had an in-person audition since before the pandemic.
Okay, yeah, that's what my other friends on the show told me too, as far as like being active. They were like, yeah, we don't do in person anymore.
No. So, and then really I'm like, oh, so wait, I don't have to live in LA?
So I can live anywhere else?
I could actually buy a house somewhere? Oh, okay.
Well, you were also in Hustlers. How was that?
Oh, girl, I watched the Super Bowl the other day, and I thought, oh, I missed my chance with Usher.
That's so funny. How was that experience?
It was wonderful. Yeah. You know, in between takes, he was like, how you doing? What's your ethnicity? I said, oh, we still ask that, sir? Italian. And I got real shy. Yeah. And, you know, this is back before he was booed up.
Yeah.
And, And I had a great time on set.
Yeah.
But I wished I'd been a little more forward with Usher.
You're all, regret.
I just got shy. You know, there was a lot of people around it.
Yeah.
Icons like Cardi and Lizzo. And I had a really good time with them. Lizzo was hilarious. Cardi was so sweet.
Yeah.
Kiki was a Kiki.
Yeah.
She was a Kiki.
Yeah.
J-Lo was nice and sweet. Mm-hmm. And just, I couldn't believe... Because I've watched her my whole life.
Yeah.
Since That's the Way Love Goes. And Laureen Scafaria is the director, writer. She's a good friend of mine now.
Yeah.
And it was just, the way that set was run was so seamless.
Oh, I love that.
And it was just a lot of woman energy.
Yeah,
and
I was going to say, the girls are going to do it.
Yeah.
They're going to do it every
just,
time.
It was no drama. Yeah. There was just...
It was just
so lovely.
That's so good. I'm so glad too. Especially with a cast like that, like star power. All of you guys together.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And no drama. Love that.
No drama.
Yeah.
No drama.
That's so sick. I think that I think too, like getting to work with women that you've like idolized, and you're like, and then that you find out they're really cool and they're very talented in person too. You're like, okay, period.
Yeah,
it's never. It's really disappointing when you meet someone and they suck. You're like, damn, yeah. That's a bummer.
I've had some moments like that. Yeah. I won't say who.
Yeah, you and me both. And I'm like, damn, that's a bummer.
Yeah. So now I don't even. I do my best to like not hype it up anymore. And mm-hmm. when I meet someone, I'm really, really, really like who I've watched forever. I'm just kind of like, okay, I don't know how this is gonna go. I'm just gonna like keep the expectations low.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, totally. And also, this is like off topic, but not. The videos that you made about a certain comedian, girl, I was cackling. I was mumbling and I was cackling, bitch. That was so fucking funny.
As you should.
Me and my friends are always like, dolls, am I wrong? Am I wrong? I say that all the time. I'm just quoting you. When I say something like, am I wrong? You ate him up, bitch, period.
Good, he deserved a good eating.
Yeah, you sure fucking did, bitch. And I didn't even realize that was you in the video. At first, when I watched it, I was fucking cackling. I was like, this is so funny. And then my sister is a big fan of yours. She couldn't come today, but she's a huge fan of yours too. And she was like, that's literally Trace. And I was like, no fucking way. I don't know why I didn't put two and two together.
Probably because I code switched so much in interviews that like that video was just me being me.
Yeah.
That's what my upstairs neighbor, Sahaya, told me. She was like, it was so nice also because whenever people see you talking in an interview or something, you're so poised and, you know, you're like, you're code switching for people. Yeah, and totally. That was just Trace being Trace, like the Trace, the Trace we know, you know, on Sunday at the barbecue. Like, that's you.
Yeah, literally.
And I was like, you're right.
I guarantee that's why I didn't put it together.
Probably.
Yeah, because even sometimes for me, like when I do, like I did something with Forbes and they recorded it and they would like put little clips out and stuff. Some people were like, wow, she's so smart. And I was like, well, I'm not going to tell people to suck my dick and cock and balls at Forbes. I'm
exactly.
Not gonna do that there, girl.
But doesn't it say so much about them
yeah.
that they think that we are one thing?
That's what I'm saying.
When all of the most brilliant people are so layered and have had to be chameleons.
Absolutely.
Have had to be.
Absolutely.
Right?
Especially in this industry. And I feel like too, it's such a testament too to like how they see women. Because they're like, like when women are like brash and they're unapologetic and they're fucking confrontational, they're always like, disagreeable woman, right? But then when they see me talking in other interviews where I'm talking a lot about stuff I really care about, they're like, oh, you know what? She's actually really smart. Girl, you could be both. I could tell someone to suck my wiener and still be smart. It's
okay. Exactly.
You can exist in both worlds.
Exactly. It's all right. Exactly. It's a luxury to if you don't have to code switch so much.
Yeah, like
That's a luxury that I don't know.
They give
maybe I'll be famous enough one day where I don't have to give a about.
I know
how I'm.
And you do have to be very cognizant of that, especially in the industry that you're in exclusively, is because like other people may see that and they'll be like, oh no, because like they'll develop a personal opinion and then withhold stuff from you regardless if you're overqualified for it.
Absolutely.
Or the right person for it. So you're like, it's like playing the game.
Yes.
Which is annoying.
I play the game. I try. But they're on to me now. But.
You and me both. Okay, so I'll transition. Actually, that's actually a good transition into the topic, which is unpacking the TikTok trad wife trend, which is like traditional wife. So traditional gender role.
Am I wrong? Is there a trade wife trend too?
No, you're right. Because trade is like someone who
trade wife. That would be me.
You're like, well, I don't want to talk about my past. Okay, so obviously, like, as an actress, right, you've had to take on roles that have highlighted the complexities of, like, modern womanhood, of gender norms, like, things like that. Mm-hmm. So, like, this new trend on TikTok is very... I've actually seen a few videos. I've been tagged in a few of them. A couple of men I gotta fuck up on my list, but, like, they're talking about traditional wives. Like, they're like, how come people aren't like my mom? And I'm like, if you want to fuck your mom, like, unpack that elsewhere, girl.
Oh, my God.
Like, you know, some men are like... Do you want to kiss your mom on the mouth? Be honest.
It's very that, like, I'm sorry I'm not your mom.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, hey, girl, I'm not your mom. So, and I think your mom's taken. If I
can
remember
be your mommy. I can't be your mom. Yeah. Like, sorry.
I know. Sometimes that's very weird when they're like, why can't you just act like my mom? Because you have sex with me. That's why.
Oh, my God.
Maybe I shouldn't be.
Right.
Right. Is that a real question? Okay, so there's a couple of videos in here that are applicable to this. So this one is a man. He's recording a podcast reacting to a clip of a woman explaining this, like, traditional wife trend. And she explains that it's a trend where women want to return to the domestic lifestyle of caring for the home, cooking and cleaning for their husband. He works to provide for her. The guy on the podcast says men have been fetishizing this trend because it's their dream scenario. Which, I mean, yeah, I believe that. Mm-hmm. I do believe that for sure. But women, what? Women want to return to the domestic. My whole thing about that is, like, I don't give a fuck if you want to stay at home and cook and clean. You want to be, if you want to be that girl, as long as you're doing it consensually, go ahead. Yeah. I don't care.
I don't care either.
I don't care at all. I just, I don't want to hear what you have to say about me not wanting to do that.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't give a shit what you do.
Right.
I don't care at all, girl.
I have a problem with you being traditional. I mean,
yeah, not at all.
I'm not going to say I haven't had that fantasy once or twice. It just didn't work out for me.
Yeah.
So I had to find a skill.
Okay. You're all, I had to develop something. Otherwise, I always feel too, it's very like, it's so like, oh, well, women just don't want that anymore. There are women who do. You just can't force other ones to also do it.
Right.
Because the conversation they never want to have with me when they talk about gender roles, I'm always like, well, gender's not real. Did you know that? That's a man-made construction, babe. Right. And every time I talk about that, they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, so you guys aren't smart enough to have this conversation with me. So
they're
I'm gonna
not.
Tell you,
they're
I'm
going
to tell
smart.
You to eat my dick and balls. Like, that's what I like, that's the only thing you understand. You don't understand anything else I say.
I'm constantly amazed by... the comments that I read on the internet about gender roles, about the transphobia that's just flung every which way, particularly by men.
Yeah, girl.
And then, like, I'll go to their page and I'm like, oh, your favorite rapper's who? Because he's in my DM. Oh, your favorite basketball player's who? Oh, he's in my girl's DMs and she's trans too.
Girl.
So your faves and your idols.
Mm-hmm.
Are in our DMs.
And that's a fact. That's a literal fucking fact, bitch. I'm not kidding.
And you idolize them, but you're hating on us.
Maybe take some notes.
I mean, the moment, and mark my words, I don't know if it's going to be 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Once it becomes cool suddenly to date a trans girl, all those little sheep watch.
Exactly.
They're going to have permission to follow suit because they're sheep.
Exactly. And you know what's that? You're so real for that, because that is not a lie. So many men in the industry.
Oh, I mean, and I'm talking about the biggest of the big.
Literally, like the most famous person.
The most famous in whatever field.
Exactly.
Hooping.
Yeah.
Rapping. acting.
Acting, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I got my own list, and my girls do too.
The DJs, and they love.
So, tread lightly.
Yeah.
I'm not the one to blurt out names, but I'm just saying, your faves, they want to lay down with us. And so you look stupid and goofy when you call us men and shit.
Yeah. Because the men you idolize do not think that.
They don't.
They surely don't, girl.
They don't.
That's why all my trans girlfriends that have come on, they've been like, you have no idea
who's no hitting
me up. I was like, their minds would be fucking
blown.
They would be
like, yeah. They would short circuit.
They really would.
They
to
would
find
short
out.
Circuit.
That's why I was like, y'all think you know, but you don't. Mm-mm, you have no idea. They love the dolls. They do.
Love the dolls.
They love the dolls. And who wouldn't? Hello.
They love the dolls.
That's what I'm like.
The only reason they don't do it out loud is because it's not socially acceptable.
Exactly.
Acceptable. And men are very status driven. And we are still not a status symbol for men.
And that doesn't stop them from fetishizing, though.
No.
Or doing it in secret.
At all.
And that's all they want. And you know what's funny, too, is like the dolls all talk to each other. So they all know.
There's
girl.
Only so many of them.
Yeah, they all know, girl.
We all know.
That's why I find that is like the craziest thing to me too, because I always think to myself, I'm like, if y'all knew, all of a sudden, like you said, it would be cool.
Oh,
it would be
I
so
mean,
cool
if
all
they
sudden.
All just, the biggest of the biggest names, if they all just said tomorrow, like, yeah, I fuck with trans girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's my lady, or whatever. Oh, yeah, I blow her back out on Wednesday. It would not, transphobia would die tomorrow.
It literally would disappear.
Yeah.
It would disappear entirely, girl.
It would disappear.
I was like, I've said too, I'm like you said, a sheep. Like, I'm like, y'all are such, you're so not the man that you think you are.
You're so not.
Because you're a coward. I'm right. Like, you can't even come out. Like, and I don't know why it's so hard to wrap their head around that concept when it doesn't make you gay if that's what you're afraid of.
Right.
Like, if you identify as a man and you like trans women, you're not gay.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's what you're so afraid of.
I don't know why that keeps being a thing.
A conversation over and over again.
And it's like, no matter, I've tried to tell people, like, you know, all my exes, they didn't even date other trans girls before me, and they went on to cis women after. Like, so it's not like, I don't know. I'm just another kind of woman.
Yeah.
To them.
You're still a woman. That's what I'm saying. Like, they spend too much time thinking about shit that doesn't apply to them, or shit that they secretly haven't confronted, and then that's why they feel so fucking attacked.
And they
time.
Look like a booger while doing it. And I'm like, I'm not checking for you, too.
Yeah, relax, bitch.
Relax.
Yeah, that's why I've said that.
I'm not checking for you. Now, your favorite basketball player, your favorite rap, maybe him, not you.
Well, and he's checking for her.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. I've even said, I've said to people before when they're like, I would never fuck you. Okay, same. Neither would I.
So we don't have to even
if
go
anything,
there.
We have a lot in common. Because I find you disgusting. So it's like, we have a lot in common, girl. We should be friends. We have so much
in
common.
We could learn a lot from each other.
Yeah. We have common interests. We both find each other abhorrent to look at. So it's a win-win. What do you mean? That's why when they say that, I'm like, okay, same. They're like, that's so fucked up to say to me. And that's because men like that literally are like, I don't want to fuck you, but I can't believe that you don't want me to fuck you.
Yeah, they're
of course I don't.
They
look at you.
Their ego's getting handled.
Yeah. They hate nothing more than hearing, okay, you're ugly. You're like, well, yeah, I would never fuck you either because you're ugly. So. Yeah. And they're like, who the fuck do you think you are saying that to me? Do you get a lot of hate on social media?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Same.
Yeah. It's I think a lot of it is, the trans thing, but it's also like this very specific kind of like misogyny. Mm. Like, it's transphobia and misogyny.
Yeah.
And then this tornado that it creates.
Yeah.
Totally. Oh, because you have the nerve to be a bad bitch too? And like, wait, my dick jumped when I looked at you? Like, oh, that's just, it just sets them off. And
yeah,
it's like,
literally.
Or if it's a cis woman doing the hating, then it's just her insecurities that
jealousy.
She's just throwing at me.
Yeah, girl. And I'm like, jealousy's an ugly color on everyone. I promise you that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I was like, you're showing your whole real obviously, girl, because it's like, whenever I get hate from women, which is like, it's rare compared to men, but I do get quite a lot of hate from women. Mm. When I do, I'm always like, I don't know. Like, I hope he saw this. Whoever you're hoping will text you back, I hope he saw this coming. Like, I hope he saw it, girl. I hope you get hope you get a text back. I really do.
Yeah.
Because, like, who's this for? Like, you're on my page, girl. You're on my house.
Right. And there's just this level of bravery online that they don't have in real life either.
For real.
Because I'm a no-nonsense bitch.
You and me both.
And so if you ever wanted it in the street, these hands is nice. What did Cardi say? My hands are nice. But no, I had to get off Instagram. After we did our press run for Monica, I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore.
Yeah.
I'll go on when there's like a paid post or something. But I miss the analog world. Does that sound really old? Am I old? I'm old. I mean, I was born in 81. So I miss the analog world. Like, I really do. And so, I mean, TikTok is I feel like I could be wrong, but maybe it's because it's newer for me. It feels a little lighter and funnier. And, but Instagram is just like, so much hate.
Totally. It's nasty on there. I was just.
And then Twitter
got
even worse, which I don't even.
Yeah,
Twitter's I don't even use that anymore.
Twitter's the scariest one, like with the worst hate. But I feel like on Instagram too, like it's almost like I talked about it recently because I had posted a reel and it was one I had on my TikTok for a while. So I just put it on TikTok because it was funny and it wasn't making fun of anyone at all. It was like literally just me and my man being silly. And when I posted that, like, oh, girl, it hit the algorithm, so it did well. I hadn't seen that kind of hate in years. I was like, well, girl, what the fuck is going on? Like, there are some nasty ass people on Instagram.
Yeah.
And the way they find you, I feel like a lot of times is through reels, which is why I was like, what the hell is going on? And it's pretty bad on there. And I feel like I wasn't used to it on that app, because on Instagram, you know, you follow who you like. So it's like your feed is so curated that it's never anyone random. It's always just like who you like and who you know. And so I feel like maybe that's why I was so shocked to see it on that app, because I was like, girl, what is going on here?
Yeah.
So many men found me and they hate me on there too.
It's horrible. I think it's just, I think it's this hit of like dopamine that they get.
Oh, totally.
That they don't know how to get that in their own lives. Mm-hmm. So they can just turn into a keyboard warrior and very good at typing.
Like, turn that into a scale shit.
Exactly.
Go apply for a job, girl. I posted a video a month or two ago, and I was like, I was defending like WNBA players, right? And I was like saying like, if you're a man who couldn't even make varsity in high school, I don't give a fuck what you think about professional women basketball players, girl.
I saw that.
Yeah,
I
was like, video. I don't care at all what you have to say. And when I posted that video, obviously a whole bunch of men under 5'8 were like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, you fucking fatty. They're all mad at me. Of course they are, which is, that's their whole thing with me. They hate me. And so when they started commenting like shit like that, like one of the last things I said in the video was like, instead of worrying about someone else's stats, like how many dates have you been on in the last month? Right. Because you've been laid in last year. Yeah, maybe worry about those numbers, bitch. Like, maybe get those up, and then maybe we can have a conversation.
Period.
So I made that joke, and then I had so many men be like, and what does sex have to do with, oh, everything? Because that's why you act that way, because you don't get any. That's why you act that way.
Yeah, because if you were happy, you wouldn't be up under these videos exactly. like you are.
If you didn't fucking hate women, you would be getting laid, and you wouldn't be so miserable. That's my point. So, the fact that I had to draw that map for you kind of proves my point, which is like, you're so miserable in your life, you hate yourself, so you feel like you get this like sense of power by like throwing, like posting anonymous hate or whatever on other people's profiles. That includes yours and mine.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's an epidemic of men right now that are searching for purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming out in weird ways. Yeah. It's coming out in a lot of misogynistic ways.
Yeah, like I saw like, I think there was like that study that came out, I think it was last year, like 2023, where they said there's like a loneliness epidemic for men specifically.
Mm.
And in the study, a lot of them were talking about how women and anyone else who does not operate within a gender binary are essentially like, they're moving on with their lives. Like they're not like, oh, I hope a man loves me one day. Like, they're still pursuing life outside of men because they're like, all of you suck. I'm going to keep doing what I got to do and being happy.
Right.
And they're super okay with being alone, whereas men were not counting on that, so they're not okay being alone.
Right.
And now they're making – that is also our fault. Like, it's like everything's women's fault. Like, everything is our fault. Like, when you're awful to us, that's my fault for being sensitive. When you're lonely, that's my fault for not dating you. Girl –
yeah.
I'm like, it's so hard. Life is so hard for a cis man. Oh. So hard. I feel so bad for that.
Oh, BB. Yeah. Oh, BB.
This episode is brought to you by Priceline. When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place we're always daydreaming about. Whether it's the snow-capped mountains, white sand beaches, a best friend's wedding, or even a hometown visit, we all have one. My happy place, personally, is my second home, which is in Hawaii. And everybody knows, because that's where I've been living, and I live there and in California, and I love Hawaii, and I love traveling there. So wherever your happy place is, Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price, so you never have to miss a trip. And did you know that when you bundle and save with Priceline, you can save up to $625 when you book your flights and hotels together? We all know the feeling. 100 open tabs across 50 different sites trying to find the best deal. Just use Priceline and simply book your entire trip in one place. They truly have deals you cannot find anywhere else. And everybody loves a good deal, girl. So make sure you get that value off of Priceline. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Accounting Plus. Ignore the unschooled skeptics. In terms of career, accounting is the way to go. We're talking flexibility, great pay, and the kind of lifestyle you've always dreamed of. It's a lifestyle that's less math and spreadsheets and more traveling, personal and professional growth, and making a positive impact on your family and community. If this sounds like what you're into, Accounting Plus provides free resources that will help guide you to a successful career in accounting and personal freedom. Do more, live more. Visit joinaccountingplus.com. Okay, let me read some of the comments on this video. This one says, "Bet she'll look younger, longer than all those boss bitches working 17-hour days and hooking up with some stranger on Tinder." Huh? Okay, he's saying a traditional wife would look younger, longer because they wouldn't be working and hooking up with some stranger on Tinder. That's a very detailed comment. I bet you wish you were hooking up with a stranger on Tinder, huh?
Yeah, and... I don't know about that one.
17-hour days. I'm like, you know what makes women look like tired or older? Stress.
Right.
You know who stresses people out? Men. So you want to talk about whose fault that is? That's probably yours. If they're looking tired, like especially women who are like their mothers and their wives, and then they have male partners who are not active participants in either the relationship or the kids' lives, and she's just doing everything and working.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's gonna be stressed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They want to, like, it sometimes when they say that shit about, like, I wish women acted like my mom or whatever the fuck, I'm always thinking, like, your perception of women is so archaic, but also, like, women had no choice for a long time, like, because they couldn't do anything. Like, they couldn't get a bank account, couldn't buy a car, couldn't get a job.
Right.
For so many years. So the fact that you really think your great-great-great-great-grandma loved your grandpa, please. She probably thought about all the ways to kill him thousands of times.
She was surviving.
Yeah, she was literally surviving. Like, literally. That's why I'm like, if your great-great-great-great-grandma had the choice, she would not have picked your grandpa. I guarantee it. I guarantee it, bitch. She hates him and she hates you. I bet you anything. So I was like, you're so fucking delusional if you think your mom, like your great, like a few generations back when they had no rights at all, that he was like, oh, it was true love. True love. It was
true love.
Yes.
As I hang up this laundry on the prairie.
Yeah, literally. I'm like, yeah, women were being like abused left and right and never taken seriously when they would report it. But yeah, I'm sure it was true love. I'm sure they loved him. I'm sure they felt that way. This next one says, the government tricked women into being like men so they can charge more for everything, where now you have to have two incomes to live and double taxes.
Huh? I mean, it is expensive nowadays. Yeah. But I don't think that's our fault again. Yeah. I think that's called our inflation, fault again.
Babe. That's called inflation. That's not our fault either. Dude, that's crazy. He's like, that's also women's fault. I'm like, shit, add it to my list. There's so many things I have to apologize for. This next one says, if you don't have a trade girl, it's you. Wait, what? It's you who are the problem. You're not a provider. Okay. He's saying if you don't have a traditional wife, it's because you're not a provider. You ever been with a man who's a provider? Yes and no?
Yes. Yes. I provided too.
Yeah.
I mean, why not have two incomes?
Yeah. That's why sometimes I think too, like men who write shit like that, sometimes I think I'm like, have you ever been in a relationship with anyone?
Right.
Because it's not like a, hey, 50-50 everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very like, I'll pay for this, you pay for it. It's the same thing I do with my friends. Like, I'm like, absolutely. I got this meal, like next time you got me, like, you know what I mean? That's why I'm like, you guys overcomplicate shit. Like,
yes,
it's not like that. And if someone sits down, he's like, I want a 50-50 split. Get out of my fucking face.
Yeah. And look, I don't mind making you a steak on a Friday evening once a week.
Yeah.
And giving you some head when you get home from your long day. If you paying 60% of the bills.
Yeah.
I don't mind. But I just don't want to be locked in a box.
Exactly. No. That's literally what I'm saying. I'm like, you know what's crazy is your wildest dreams of what you perceive to be in women, like what you would love from them. They'll happily give you without you having to ask, as long as you're not an asshole. Like, if you're a good person and you provide equal footing in the relationship, you'll live the best life you've ever had.
Yeah.
She'll be the best partner you've ever fucking had.
Right.
Because women stay with men who are fucking awful. Like,
I don't know how they do it. Well, okay. We've all been in our early 20s before, and I've done that too.
I know. I've kind of talked about it. I was like, there's always one specifically where you're like, oh man, my eyes were completely closed.
What was I doing?
Yeah, yeah. You're like, my eyes were shut, bitch. Like, I was
dickmatized. Like, something was going on.
I know. Even I have one. I have one where I was literally like, when I look back, I'm like, girl, what the fuck? Like, I plead temporary insanity because what was wrong with me?
Did you ever shake your purse?
Shake my purse?
Did you ever, like, give them money for something?
Oh, no. Well, no. I never gave money. But it was more so like there were so many glaring red flags, and I was like, oh, I can't see anything. Mm. I'm like, oh, you know, immediately. And now looking, even then, like my friends who had dated some of the weirdest, worst people ever, like we all like would joke about it. Like they all had their phases with like random dudes where I'm like, he sucks. But they just like, were like, I know, but like, I want to sleep with him so bad. Which fair. You know what I mean? As long as everyone's honest, right?
Yeah.
So my friends and I would joke about it all the time, but I never really had anyone like that at the time. Like the men that I were dating, they were like, okay, but that one, my friends were like, hey girl,
yeah.
Are you being stupid on purpose or what's going on?
Like, your friends are always right.
Yeah. Your friends are always
right. So you can just, you know, not waste the time and listen to them.
Yeah.
Or you can waste another year.
Oh yeah, girl.
You know,
and I found out about him, I was the other woman. He was in a very serious relationship, and I was just like a fling. But I did not know. I had no fucking clue at all.
She probably didn't know either.
Oh no, she had no idea. And he, like, when I didn't even like, I was like, I'm not even gonna dignify this bitch with like an explanation. I'm just gonna cut it off. Like, I was just like, I don't owe you shit. So I'm just not talking to you anymore.
Yeah.
And then when he did reach out to me, he's like, also, like, I don't, like, I'm not with her, like, you know, like, we're just, like, co-parenting because, like, he told me she was about to have a baby, and I was like, hey, I'm 21. I'm not going to be a stepmom. Are you out of your fucking mind? Like, I mean, congrats, but I'm out. Like, what the fuck? And he was like, oh, yeah, no, like, she's going to be, whatever the fuck. Again, me entertaining the shit and, like, listening to it for way too long. Like, I was just, like, being a friend kind of shit, but not. And then I got a call from her one day.
Did you?
Yeah, like, at 2 a.m. And she told me she hacked his iPad in order to get my phone number. Because he used to text me all the time, but I have a boy name. So she thought I was a boy. She's like, who the fuck are you texting all the time? And he's like, oh, it's my friend Drew.
Hilarious.
So she thought I was, and I was like, oh, friend.
Hilarious. Oh,
friend.
Wow.
I don't do that with my friends, but she called me and she talked to me, but she wasn't mad at me. She just like wanted to know the truth.
Yeah.
And she had asked me like, you know, do you live in this place specifically? And I was like, no, but my friend does. And then she had told me the very first night we met, he slept over at my friend's house with me, then went home. And then when she said, what the fuck were you doing over there? Cause he has no business being over there.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, oh, I was just hanging out with my friend and I got drunk and fell asleep.
Uh-huh.
Like he created this whole story, but she told me she sneakily put a tracking thing on his phone and that's how she knew he was there. And I was like,
oh, why do we have to do all that?
I know. I said, girl, you're doing all that shit. What are we doing?
If you have to do all that, it's already,
it's gone, girl.
It's already
let her go.
Girl.
Give her back to God. I did.
Yeah, so I was exactly.
Like, bye. So yes. I literally encouraged her. I was like, fuck him. We're better than that. We deserve better. You and I. Me just you empowering her.
Exactly. I had one wife call me respectfully like that. And
coming to you as a woman?
Yeah. She was same. Like, yeah. And I was straight up with her.
Yeah.
But I've also had bitches call me out of pocket, too.
And that is at not first, fine. I thought maybe that's what it was at first. But then she started crying, and I was like, oh, okay, well, she's not.
Yeah.
She's not trying to, like step to me. She's just trying to, like, get answers. But I'm like, even then, she was asking me, like, really detailed questions. She's like, oh, like, can you tell me? I even told her, I was like, I don't think you want to hear that stuff. I wouldn't if I were you.
Exactly.
You don't want to hear it. I'm telling you right now.
You don't want the details. You don't want to know that I'm a tranny either. Well, can you say that? Because that's going to send you in a whole other spiral.
Have you withheld that too?
Yeah, I'm like, I'll spare her that.
Oh, that's really nice of you.
Yeah, I'll spare her that.
That's really nice of you. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's just, you know, because I look, I didn't know about you either, bitch.
Yes.
So don't call my phone crazy.
No, same. That's why, and that's what I told. That's the first thing I told her. I was like, I had no idea. Like, I didn't. And as soon as he told me, I was out. But the what he told me is not what you're telling me. Because what he told me was that you guys were just like good friends and all that type of shit. Turns out she was living with him the entire time. So I was like, oh, love that. Because they were a couple for 10 years prior to that. And I was like, oh, nice. Love that.
Wow.
But there were lots of signs before that, which is why I was like, okay, my eyes were shut completely. That's on me. but that's just because I was like, it was obvious shit too. Like it was, I would invite him out and he would never want to go. But at night he would want to come to me.
Oh yeah.
But he would never let me go over there. He only wanted to come to me only at night.
Telltale.
Yeah. That's why I was like.
Telltale signs.
Those are like so obvious. Yeah, like, those are such it's obvious like, signs.
It's so funny how early on we get that little spidey sense in For our real. Gut. For real. And then we ignore it usually until like our mid 30s. Yeah. And then you hit a breaking point and you're yeah. like, I can't do it anymore. You know, and now I have to find the will to go on a date. I have to find the will. I have to pray about it. Yeah. I have to take an energy drink.
For real.
I have to meditate.
Yeah, my sister, she's kind of dating, but she's gay. So when she was talking to me, she was like, yeah, like, I don't know, like, she had said something about dating, and I was like, well, girl, dating men, I feel like, I was like, if you liked men, you'd have a ton of dates. They'd just be with the worst people you've ever
hot garbage
ever seen in your life. Like hot both garbage. Personality and looks. Like they'd be awful. It would be awful, girl. Like
yes.
Count your blessings in that sense. So I was like, it would not be better if the you amount of liked men.
The amount of nights I've stayed up and prayed that God would make me a lesbian. This just not happened for me. And I've tried.
You and me both.
I have tried.
Yeah. Sometimes someone once on my tour asked me, she was like, oh, like, because I've talked about how, like, I've, like, had a visceral hatred for men running through my bloodstream for as long as I can remember. And I was, like, telling her, I was like, yeah. And obviously, based off my content, y'all can tell that. But she had asked me, like, did you ever think that maybe you liked women? And I said, yeah, I did. In college, I was like, maybe I like women. Like, maybe I'm attracted to women. And she was like, well, how do you know for sure? And then I was like, because I tried it and it didn't work.
Yeah,
and then when I did it, I said, fuck, that means I like men.
Yeah, I gave it a good old try, too.
Yeah, it's just not the same for me. That's why I was like, that's how I know it's not a choice. Okay, well, we've talked about a lot of things, so many things, but especially how much we hate men, period. But back to the point of you obviously being an actress, what would you say is your best piece of advice for not just women in general, but trans girls too, who are trying to get into the industry and like really want to be an actress and like want to be in, whether it's TV, film, like, do you have any like really good advice for them or any pearls of wisdom you want to share?
Oh, there's two things. Mm-hmm. If you can do anything else, do it. But if you really want to act,
yeah.
Lean into the things that make you unique.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many talented people out there.
Mm-hmm.
And in certain rooms, you know, it's going to be like a lottery. So you got to, you really got to lean into what makes you, you.
Yeah.
And bring that to the role.
Totally.
Because people will see that and people innately gravitate towards authenticity.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on the episode.
Thank you for having
I adore you.
Me. I adore you.
You're amazing.
You
we got
are
a key in real life too.
Oh, I would love that.
Period. Yes. Well, bring Johnny. There.
Okay.
We'll all have a girls' night out.
Absolutely. Absolutely true.
And that's a real offer. I'm being dead serious.
Okay.
I said I'm it down. Online, so you're all witness to me. So if Trace doesn't hang out with me, you guys saw it.
Hey. It's an honor. You are a real life superhero to me. So.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you. Yeah. So you are also a hero to me. I'm fucking in awe of you. I can't wait to keep watching you ascend. It's going to be awesome.
Thank you.
We'll be at the Oscars together, but I'll be interviewing you.
Let's and claim it.
There you go.
Let's claim
Speak it.
It
into existence. Yes. Thank you so much for joining me. I love you. You're amazing.
Thank you, girl.
Thank you all so much for joining us on this episode of the Comment Section Show. Before we go, where can everybody find you?
Ooh, just at Trace Lissette,
mm-hmm.
On all socials.
Period. Yeah. Do you have anything you want to promote?
Ooh, There's a movie called Dope Queens that is looking for a home. And so just be on the lookout for it.
Period. Yeah. How exciting. Okay. Thank you so much to Trace for coming on the show. Thank you all for watching. Make sure y'all go follow Trace on literally everything. She's a superstar and she's going to continue to be a mega star. And make sure y'all watch her movie Monica, which is already out. And it's incredible. So make sure y'all go see it. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Don't forget, the comment section episodes drop every Wednesday. You can stream the audio on all streaming platforms, but the video lives exclusively and for free on Spotify. Thank you again to my amazing guest. Thank you to all of you, and I'll see you next week. Bye.